Welcome back once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us as we come with the message today. Again, it is designed to help you in your walk with the Lord. In fact, all of our messages are designed that way. But today we want to focus on an area which I don't recall teaching on this before. And it's my reference here is what I call housekeeping. Let me make sure all the, I won't get any, interruption from the telephone. Let's see, is that still on? Okay, so that's good. And none there, all right. So the idea, ladies and gentlemen, is that you and I have the privilege, yes, we have the privilege of walking with the Lord. And we have been studying different areas. As I pointed out earlier, there are different things. We have different strengths, different focuses. And that's one of the reasons why we visit other areas from time to time. If the church was set up the way the Bible has it, it wouldn't be such a challenge. But most people don't want to collaborate like they should. Or they have ideas how they want to implement their thing, not what the Bible teaches. And, we can't go along with that. But we want to encourage you to search the scriptures. Search the scriptures and apply as you read. That's the idea. Some years ago, this gentleman, he got a little irritated with me. And he was telling me, in fact, somebody asked a question. You make it sound like all you need to do is believe the Bible. And I said, yes, that's exactly what I wanted. And this pastor, he got a little irritated. He didn't like that response. Well, folks, I don't know what else to tell anybody, because everything I can tell you comes from the Bible. And if it doesn't come from the Bible, chances are it is not valid. If it is, tainted by the Word of God, then that's a different story. But my point is, everything we do must be based on the Word of God. Everything we do not do must also be based on the Word of God. So in our housekeeping today, I'd like for us to think in terms of certain categories. For example, we're going to talk about prophecy and a little update there. You need to know what the Bible says about prophecy. God gives us prophecy so as to keep us abreast of what is going on, because there are times when you may have doubt, just like a roadmap. And then we also need some economic update, because without economics, without resources, there's not much you're going to be able to do for yourself or for others. So that's needed. We need to be mindful of that. And then the work of God. What exactly is the work of God, and what is it that we are doing through this ministry? And where does your tithes and offering go? All that is a part of it. Next, we're going to talk a little about our walk with the Lord, where you and I have been called, we have been given a commission. And so sometimes we need to examine and double check ourselves to make sure we are on schedule, we are doing things the way God has purposed it. And so that's part of what I want to go ahead and share with you today. And we have one more category, and that is our charge. It dovetails into the previous one, our charge. In other words, I charge you, therefore, before God and man, Paul told Timothy. Well, that's the idea. And so we need to accept the charge. So these are the areas, ladies and gentlemen, that we will delve into today in this lesson. Let us begin in the category of prophecy. To summarize, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's turn to it quickly, because not everybody understands this. And so it is critical that we get it clear in our mind what we, that's you and I, are supposed to be doing. Let's see. 2 Peter, rather. Chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Did I write that down? correctly? Actually, I'm not in my notes, but anyway, I'll let me go ahead and just touch on it. It says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. So God has given us written documentation telling us about what is going to happen before they happen, sometimes thousands of years before they happen, and they happen just like he says, to validate the fact that his word is good. So Peter is writing 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. In other words, pay attention and observe what God has stated, because his word is good. As unto a light that shines in a dark place. It's comparing it to a light that is shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So he says, it's like you're in a dark place and you have some light and it's allowing you to see where you need to walk, and as you go along, eventually you'll see where there is daylight. We have a sure word of prophecy, and the goal again is to keep us alert as to what God is doing, and also to validate that his word is good. So I want you to think about that. Now, in specifics, I would like for us to go to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. And he's giving us a list of things. I'm not going to go over all of them. We have covered this on many occasions before. But I want to touch on a few things. He says, because he was describing, the apostles were describing the stones that were used to build a temple. And they were marveling about it, because from the Jewish mindset, remember now, the temple is everything. Well, in a spiritual sense, it is. But that physical temple, you know, they really went all out for it. And so they were talking about it, and Jesus said, well, you see all these stones? Not one of them is going to be left upon another. In other words, they're going to be torn down. Well, that kind of burst their bubble, punctured their balloon, so to speak. So as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And so he started answering them in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Beware of false teaching. So that's the first thing. And he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's the second thing. And number 3, you're going to hear about nations going to rise against nation, and you're going to have famines and pestilence and earthquakes, things like that in different areas, natural disasters. And so what you find in the fourth thing is, he says, that, you know, that's natural disasters, number 4. And what I want to remind you of, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you see these events happening around us, this is what should come to mind, just like Jesus said. I looked at some information yesterday where we have reported some 800,000 people had to be evacuated in Lahore, that's Pakistan. It's a town adjacent to the Indian border, close to the Indian border. And what we find was that they have been having excessive rain starting in June. The monsoon season, as they call it. Well, this is far more. The report says this is the most they've had in such a short period of time in 49 years. Biblical proportion, in other words. And many of the people, you know, folks are being, I mean, towns are just being flooded. Everything is being flooded. The army is going to help. But I'm just talking about natural disasters. Well, Jesus said these are the signs. And as he pointed out here in verse 8 of Matthew 24, these are just the beginning. So things are going to get even worse. Well, you and I need to be abreast of what is happening, ladies and gentlemen. And so we need to pay close attention to the prophetic and the prophecies, and as they come to pass, we can put our check mark, yes, this is what God said. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Because I want to compare and show you a similar event, similar description of the same event that I was just talking about a second ago. Because that's the fourth seal. You know, remember in the book of Revelation, now they come in the form of seals, the different events. And the book of Matthew chapter 24, actually describes and interprets the seals. So you're looking at the seals, and in verse 7, he says, when he had opened the fourth seal, remember now there are several seals, seven in all, and the fourth one, I'm just skipping into the story, you can read this chapter in your own time, but the fourth seal is being opened. And what happened when that happened, when that is done? I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And when he had opened the fourth, he said, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. Hell there means the grave. So a lot of people are going to die. And power was given unto them over one fourth of the earth. Now we have, this has not come to a fullness yet, but that's the direction in which we're going, folks. And I am telling you, the day is coming when approximately one fourth of the earth's population is going to be destroyed through these wars and natural disasters. That is where things are going. Most people don't realize that. And he says, power was given unto him and unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. So you're going to have a lot of natural disasters and wars and things of that nature, calamities coming up, just like what you see in Lahore, L-A-H-O-R-E. So it's a city in Pakistan. And so folks are being inundated, and it's going to be like that. You imagine you are used to comfortable, especially in your past 50 years old, you like to sleep in a dry bed. Oh no, no such thing for these folks. And wherever they are, it's still raining. But that's what's going on. What is happening? Well, the sins of mankind is catching up with us, and so that's part of what you begin to see right there. So I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to stay abreast of the prophetic. Along that line, ladies and gentlemen, what else do we see happening? For those who didn't get a chance to listen to Sounds of Revival, I must upload it so that those who are on the list, you will receive it. But I covered the fact that Foreign Policy Magazine is announcing that within 10 years, there will be minimal number of troops. Now, almost no American troop will be stationed in Europe. What do you see happening, ladies and gentlemen? When the Americans went over there after during World War II, helped win the war, and never came back home. Well, America has been keeping Europe safe all this time. Well, things are about to change, and the Europeans now are about to take over. Now, a lot of folks don't understand that this is part of the prophecy. And so what I am saying to you, in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, it describes a beast that is rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, those who listen, and by the way, if you haven't done so, please request or go to the website. I'll make sure it's there. We're gonna put up it's a series from Babylon to Jerusalem, describing the end time events, and it starts with Babylon. You know, the same Babylon that overtook Judah and carried them away captive. Well, the series started from that period of time all the way to the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And so we did a 7-part series explaining these things in detail. So I would encourage you to listen to it. And for those who would like, I'll send you a link so that you can just listen on your smartphone. You can just listen to the link. If you have access to the internet, you can just listen to them. You know, you don't have to download, but if you don't have access, then download it so you can keep it on your smartphone and you just play it continuously. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 in this series, from Babylon to Jerusalem. But it then outlines and it gives you indication of where we are prophetically and where things are going, because things are unfolding very rapidly before our very eyes, ladies and gentlemen. So in housekeeping today, I want us to understand that you and I need to stay update through all the updates that we give about prophecy. All right, that's all we're going to say about prophecy from there now, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to just remind you, let's go to Revelation chapter 13 and read in verse, well, go 1-4, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I stood up on the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That means he is not from God. He's blaspheming God. Verse 2 says, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Who's that dragon? Satan, the devil. When verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. So he survived the empire, in other words, collapsed, and there were resurrections thereafter. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, verse 4 says. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? Why? Because he's going to have such a serious military combine that nobody worldwide will be willing to take him on. Eventually he's going to be destroyed, but my point is he's going to have a very dramatic military system in place that is being done right now before our very eyes. This is what is behind this, the building of the German army. And some were recognizing what is going on, and they come to the conclusion, they say, well, it looks like Germany is planning for World War III. Well, actually they are. And they're going to be dominating this military force that we read about a second ago in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Now, these are the prophecies, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you this before it happens. But just look at the United States of Europe. They don't have the country set up that way yet, but it will be. And they are going to have a powerful military far greater than the United States or even United States and Russia combined. That's where this thing is going. So that's the end of prophecy update. Now let's go on into the economic update, ladies and gentlemen, because a lot of things are taking place on the economic front. There is a trade war going now worldwide. Actually got started here in the United States, where many have been taking advantage of America. Well, that's the way you handle it. It's not tariffs, but that's this method that is chosen. So we're beginning to see that taking place. It's going to continue, ladies and gentlemen, and things are going to get out of hand. But there's something else I want to bring to your attention, ladies and gentlemen, because you need to understand that according to Isaiah, the 23rd chapter, let's turn to it because it's easy to read over these things. Isaiah chapter 23, where God is giving us insight to where this trade war is going to go, and you and I need to be aware of it. For those who live in the English-speaking countries in particular, we are going to receive a spanking. because we have had more blessings than all the other nations. Yes, the other people have had some, but we were given a upper hand, so to speak. We're given a head start. Well, what have we done with it? We were supposed to just live and demonstrate God's way of life, and most people are not doing that. So the end result is going to get a spanking. So in Isaiah 23, it says, the burden of Tyre, how will you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. Tarshish, for the land is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. Be still, you inhabitants of the isles, thou whom the merchandise of Zidon that passes over the sea have replenished. So what has happened is that these were towns that were in what we now call Lebanon, and they were known for their merchandising and trading by sea. The same way, by the way, Chittim is also another name for China, and that is how they, you see, that is the stuff that is traveling by sea from China going to other countries. Well, the same thing was happening back then. And Isaiah is prophesying and says, start to howl. In other words, they're going to mourn. Something is going to be missing. Now, the point here is this. It is going to be against the people who were blessed. The people who were blessed. Well, there goes now the English-speaking people, and America included. Yes, that includes Jamaica and Trinidad and Barbados and South Africa and Australia and New Zealand and Canada. So what I am saying to you, Britain also, by the way, Ireland, Scotland, and so on. So verse 3 says, by great waters the seed of Seor and the harvest of the river is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Notice this now. She is a mart of nations. The people who are going to oppress us is a mart of nations. Well, nowadays, we don't use the term. I don't know if we still talk about supermarket. But, the point here, it is a group of people buying and selling. And they had a lot of trade going on. But what is happening is that these folks now are going to set up a system that leaves out the United States. This tariff war that we see taking place now, the other folks are planning, and the Mercosur group, that's the group in South America, they are going to put their allegiance with the Europeans. They already have some with Africa, but they have a lot with China and over in the East, Japan and Korea and so on, Australia. But they're going to leave America out of it. Well, America cannot survive without trade. So there it is. We're going to receive an economic decline, the magnitude of which we have not seen on planet Earth. Just this year alone, there's a country, I need to look it up again, that just their inflation has grown a little over 150% just this year alone. In other words, things you used to buy for $10 is now $20. Just this year alone. Well, what I am trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're heading in that direction. And so this is where things are going in the economic front. What are we supposed to do? Keep our eyes on Jesus and plan wisely. He will direct us. I want to go back to the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, and show you part of what is described. Because most people find this hard to believe. But I have to tell you the truth. No, you don't have to worry. You just need to keep your eyes on Jesus. He has planned to take care of us. It says in Revelation 17, verse 1, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come here, and I'll show you the judgment of the great system that sit upon many waters. That's a lady. That's the Roman organization and the beast, the Babylonian system. It's called a great war. And with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You see, people are learning bad habits, and they are combining things in a way that is not good. And so verse 3 says, so he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit up on a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We just read about that beast in Revelation 13, 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, I'm telling you, that beast is going to be a combination of nations in Europe, the same group that we now call European Community. Some are going to leave. A lot of the countries are going to leave. You have 27 nations now, but they're going to leave. Some of them are going to leave. They're going to go back with Russia and join up with them. But the others are going to stay, and they're going to be part of this beast system. And so they're going to have this large economic system and military power. That's what I've been talking about. Consisting of more than 450 million people. Now, the population of Russia is 145 million and it's declining. That's one of the reasons why they're kidnapping so many children. They're kidnapping, and they've been doing this now for the past 20 years. They kidnap a lot of them from Chechnya and Soviet Georgia. And so yeah, they're doing the same thing with Ukraine because they need people. They need people to keep the economy going. And so they are going to, the folks who leave the European Union are going to end up joining up with Russia. But my point is that Europe is going to be that dramatic system where they're going to have at least 450 million people, and it's going to be a big market, so to speak, for South American raw materials in particular, and of course for them to sell their finished goods to South America. But the idea is to bypass America. And so the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and colored, as verse 4, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. All right, and so what we find is that this lady, which is a church, a Roman church, this is going to be domineering over that economic system. Yes. Remember the original agreement? You will take care of the spiritual part, you do the physical. And so they're going to take care of the military and the economic. And that's what is being developed now. And so my point, though, is that they're going... Countries like America, you notice they're suspending all foreign aid now. Well, at some point, America won't be able to give any aid anyway. We're pretty much there right now. But what is going to happen is that we're going to move on a little further, and we're going to be, you know, lowered a little more in the presence of the people. God is going to cause this to happen to show us that we are nothing without Him. So I'm telling you, the economic tough times are coming for both, you know, America, England, Canada, United States, you know, South America, the Caribbean islands and so on, Cayman Islands and so on, Bahamas, Bermuda, all of them, yes. We are all combined together through this international system. And so what we're going to find is that times are going to get tough, because we have to exist by trade. Anyway, that's where things are going economically, and I thought I'd just go ahead and shed some light on it so you will understand what is coming and so you can prepare yourself. Now, let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. The third area I would like to work to describe and to talk about is the work of God. Now, we're broadcasting here from the city of College Park, Georgia. That's about 20 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. We're a little, you know, not too far from the airport, about 15 miles. And so that's to give you an idea where we are. But we're going far and wide for those who are listening to us in Texas or in Jamaica or in New York, you know, or over in Africa. This message is going out and they're getting this and people are paying attention. Now, we are broadcasting, and of course, most people, you know, I take them a little time to get it because they are surprised when they first hear that we are Sabbatarians, we keep the Sabbath. But that's what Jesus did. From the very beginning, he sanctified the Sabbath. And so we continue to follow his commands and instructions. Well, what else do we do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, we are engaged with churches over in Kilgores. And the growth in over there is very dramatic. It's far bigger in terms of the number of people that we're dealing with. As a matter of fact, there are 6 congregations over there. And each of them is bigger than the one we have right here in College Park, Georgia. Everyone is bigger than us. But it's just to show what God is doing. He's allowing us this great work to go, and we are privileged to be a part of it. So when you hear me talk about the weekly teachings, that is part of what we use as an evangelistic tool to get the word out, and the folks over there are very hungry for this. They have had the luxury that we have had over here in the West, and so they keep and come knocking on the pastor's door, you know, do you have any weekly teaching? I'd like a copy. And we give it out once, one per household. Well, there was so much that we, in order not to spend excess amount of money in that era, we decided that we are going to ask them to read it and then pass it on to somebody else who have a desire. Because what they are doing is telling people by word of mouth, and they say, you can go to the pastor, he'll give you a copy. So the idea is we print so many, 300 per week, and then we ask them now to spread the rest. So that's basically what is going on. And boy, has it been spreading. Again, it's one per household. So you get the idea what is going on. There are always going to be not enough. But the point is that they read and then they pass on. So they're going to get together with their friends and say, all right, I read it first and I'll give it to you. So that's the idea behind it. But that's part of what is going on over there, folks. Again, we're also involved with the church in Montgomery. Brother Stephen has been heading that ministry for many, many years. He was originally a minister in the Worldwide Church of God before the church collapsed. And so he continues to work in that area where God had planted him. And so he is there to this very day, still going with the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he's been doing a marvelous job. As a matter of fact, the work in Kenya got started between him and his dad. Later on, God brought me in on it. And so that's how I actually end up coordinating that work over there because of what God has been showing me. But the point was that Brother Stephen has been a part of it all along, and he'll continue to be a part of it, because that's what God has ordained. But here it is, we're doing this work in the College Park area. We need to do some more outreach. We need to do some more outreach down in Jamaica so the church can start growing down there. And also we have a few contacts now in Trinidad. We intend to try to share the information to those folks down there and also get them on board in listening to the weekly teaching, again, as an evangelistic tool. And of course, whatever it is that God has called us to, or should say, placed on our heart to share with them, we will do so. But that's the nature of the work that is actually going on. You know, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 28, Jesus was saying, all power is given unto him in heaven and in heart. In other words, he's in charge of everything now. So Matthew 28 and verse, let's pick it up in verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As a result, then he's commanding us, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I'm with you always, even unto the end. Well, that is what we refer to as the Great Commission. It's given to everybody, all of us together. Well, guess what? We have been taking on part of this, and so that's one of the reasons why we are running so vigorously to try to share this information with others. That's our responsibility. We encourage you to make sure you understand what it is you are supposed to do in your local area. So that's all a part of it, ladies and gentlemen, the work of God. Now, what are we doing? We're teaching the good news. What good news? That the hurt is not going to continue to remain as it is. There's a lot of injustice going on. A lot of things are where people are not being properly addressed and not being properly, you know, ministered to or taken care of. Well, Jesus is going to come back and fix all of this. Yes, he's coming again. And so he's building a team that's going to meet him when he returns. And then we are going to stay with him. He's going to assign us certain tasks. And we are going to share that news and help teach other people about this, what the kingdom of God is. And so this is all a part of the work, ladies and gentlemen. I just want you to understand. The good news is that things are not going to remain like this. He's going to take over the whole hurt. Because a lot of people are being hurt because of the way it is being run right now. He's going to correct the situation. And then they're going to put honest and upright people in positions of authority so that the people can be blessed. And they will be blessed. And there are many, many more information about it. For example, in Isaiah, the second chapter, it describes what is going to take place when the kingdom of God is set up on earth. It shall come to pass, I'm quoting now, in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations are going to flow onto it. What is then going to be a result of that? Everybody's going to learn about God the right way. No fakes. No distraction, the right way. And people are going to learn to do things God's way. And that is the good news, ladies and gentlemen, that we have been tasked to share with the world. All right? Now, let's move on to another category, and that is our walk. That's you and I then. Since we have been tasked to share the good news with others, then we need to make sure that we ourselves are doing right. Paul said, you who teach others, don't you teach yourself? So we're teaching ourselves first, and then we're going to share that good news with others so that they can also get blessed. Well, as we walk with the Lord then, we need to examine ourselves. What are some of the things that you and I need to be mindful of? Let's go to the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter. You want to get some insight about what it is we need to do. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 14. Let's see, am I there yet? Yes. He says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. This is a metaphor. The law of the wise, the way the wise person behave and conduct themselves, it's like a fountain of life. Everything from it prospers. A fountain, it flows. What flows from it? Water. Well, in this case, it's life that's flowing from this fountain. It's a metaphor. A fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. A lot of people are choosing ways that is going to destroy them in the end. That's not wise. That's not good. So the law, the person who is walking uprightly, they develop this habit now and they are going to behave themselves a certain way. And you can refer to that as the law or their viewpoint, the viewpoint of the wise. It's like a fountain of life to keep us from the snares of death. In verse 20 of the same chapter, we read that he that walk with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools is going to be destroyed. You don't want to hang around the unwise. Stay with the wise. He that walk with wise men shall be wise. So you want to conduct yourself in such a way that you are an example to others so that they then can learn about God and do things the right way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to go to it, give you a little insight of what I'm trying to share here a little deeper. It says in chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Let's pause right there. You're supposed to be looking at yourself to make sure you're doing things God's way. Are you doing things God's way? How do you know? Are you comparing what you do to what the Bible teaches? Because remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So I am saying to you that you need to be paying close attention to what you do and how you feed your mind. And it says the law of the wise is like a fountain of life. It's going to keep you from the snares of death. He that walk with wise men, Proverbs tells us, shall be wise. But a companion of fools, they're going to be destroyed. Give them some time, they're going to be destroyed. So we're going to examine ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure we're doing things God's way. He says, know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you are reprobate. So if you're a Christian and people are surprised, well, you need to examine yourself, see whether or not you're really producing the right fruit. If you're living a certain way where people don't want to associate with you because you're too debased, you're too immoral, just the way you conduct yourself, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you act. And folks don't want to associate with anything that depraved. That's not God's way. Now I see people who all of a sudden, you know, because this seems to be the way these days, where many start out going to church and they're doing the right thing, keeping the Sabbath and holy days and so on, serving God. Then after a while, you see them start going around looking for earring and looking for nose ring and looking for different type of tattoo and things of that nature. Didn't the Bible tell you don't do a marking for the dead? But people are going in that area and they've been slowly drifting away from God. Now how could that be? They allow the enemy to come in. Creeping compromise is what I call it. And so this is coming upon them. And the end result, ladies and gentlemen, is that after a while, if you're not careful, they are drawn out of the church. They leave. I want you to examine yourself and question yourself whether or not you are in the faith. Check up on your walk to make sure you're doing things God's way. Don't put yourself on autopilot. No, you need to be thinking, praying, and studying and meditating on the Word of God frequently. Frequently. So you make these a part of your schedule. The same way you'd go train in the gym. You want to train in the Word of God. So I want to encourage you along that line, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our walk with the Lord, that we need to behave ourselves and conduct ourselves in a respectful and productive way, that God is pleased when he returns to announce that you are going to be in the kingdom. Now, what else do you and I need as we think about our housekeeping this morning and what it is we need to do in our overall walk with the Lord? Well, the next thing is accountability. As I stated earlier, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, remember Jesus was asked, was told, or at least the enemy, trying to tempt him, turn stone into bread, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You remember that? You should living by every word of God. You want to make sure that that is the case. Examine yourself, because there needs to be some accountability. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs, the 27th chapter. And let's pick up a verse. Proverbs chapter 27. Because we need, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure we're doing things God's way. We need to check up on ourselves, do some housekeeping. He says, iron sharpen iron. That's verse 17 of Proverbs 27. Iron sharpen iron. So is a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. If you're walking upright and folks around you now, they're willing to walk with you, so to speak, you're going to sharpen each other. It takes some time. That's one of the reasons why God allowed people to get, you know, grown-ups to get married. And so wife help corrects the husband, husband help correct the wife, and they both together help correct the children. That is the way it is supposed to be. Iron sharpen iron. You tell folks, hey, listen, let's do things the right way. You strive to do things the right way. Iron sharpen iron. And that's how it's going to happen to your friends. Those who hang around you, if you're a no-nonsense type person, they're going to become a no-nonsense type person also. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. These are just some of the things I want to go ahead and touch on today so as to help you in your walk with the Lord, because all this we need to focus on and to recognize it's supposed to be a part of our housekeeping. Finally, brethren, I want to go ahead. I don't want the message to stay too long, but we have to take time and drill down, don't we? We have to set aside time to study, don't we? We have to take time to pray, to fast, to meditate, don't we? Yes, we need to do all of these. And so you need to examine yourself to see if you're in a line of responsibility. Now, the big overview, or let's say the overview over for us, is to propagate the gospel in different ways. Different teams have different assignments. You need to look to see where you fit. You need to make sure that you're doing your part. Now, my responsibility is to the church, and I strive hard to make sure I provide a lesson every Sabbath, no matter what. There are others that I do at other times too. But I strive to make sure. Late this Sabbath, a delight, we read in Isaiah 58. Well, we want your Sabbath to be a delight, and you're going to delight first in the Word of God, then you can, whatever provisions you have afterward, you go ahead and eat and so on, but you get the idea. I want to make sure I have this available to you on a regular basis. So I've committed to that. I know other folks keep talking about which part they want to go to, and where they want to go, you know, eat and things like that, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But my focus is the propagation of the gospel. And I study. When other people are there playing games, no, I am looking things up in the scriptures, reading them and so on, meditating on it, talking to the Lord about it. That's a part of it, ladies and gentlemen. That's my charge. And I'm charging you to make sure now you get involved. Pray for the team. Pray the Lord of the harvest. We read in Matthew 38. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers to work in his garden. He want more people because they're not enough right now. And so you can get involved by doing what? Praying and asking God to send more to help out. That's your job. So he says in verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, that's Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So verse 38 says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. We got a lot of people in Jamaica that need to know more about these things. I know you got a lot of people who think they know, but they still need to hear. And somebody have to take it to them. That's one of the reasons why I want to walk on the land again so I can help propagate the gospel, praying about it and so on, so as to get others to help me. You want laborers to get involved. What are some of the things that you are doing for the kingdom of God? What are some of the things that you're doing for the church? I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. What am I doing for the kingdom of God? What am I doing for the church? You ever stop to think about it, that you need to make a checklist for yourself to make sure that you're doing things and also that you're doing it right? Well, let me see. You're praying for your relatives. You're praying for your friends. You're praying for your family. You're praying for yourself also. You want to put yourself as a number one in that area, by the way. And then you're going to be praying and helping other folks who are running into challenging situations. You're going to help bring them online, not take over their life, no. But you're going to help in the propagation of the gospel. Others may get involved where they are actually teaching, like myself. But we want to get involved. We want to get involved. We want to get involved. We need to be looking at our list to make sure we're praying for the fatherless and those who are in need. We need to pray for the city where we live. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 4 through 7, actually 4 through 9, it tells the folks who were carried captive away into Babylon. The Lord sent a message to them by the hand of a courier who carried a written letter or epistle from Jeremiah. What did he say? Seek the peace of the land. Yeah, here it is. God run them out of Judah because they were disobedient. And those who were over there in punished, God have mercy on them. And he says, listen, you're not going back into the land anytime soon. So you need to get married and live a productive life. Pray for the city where you are. We all need to be involved. Whichever town you are living in, pray for those who have the reign and rule over us, that you and I may live a quiet and peaceful life. That's what we want. That's what is going to do us good. That's what's going to do everybody good, really, so that we can what, be able to go even more so with the gospel. So I'm saying to you, get your checklist and check them off and look at quite often. You look to see what it is that you're missing. You'll see where you check and realize, oh, I should have done something about that. Let's go back and, you know, take care of it. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. This is all a part of the charge. You know, Jesus told us when he comes back, he's going to make a pronouncement. Those who have been called and chosen, are so faithful and chosen, they're going to get a reward. And so Jesus is going to come back and tell us those faithful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's part of what he's going to do. And I would like for you and I to hear those words. You have to be involved in order to hear those words. He says in verse 23, the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Folks, that's the words I'm looking forward to today when God Jesus is going to make that pronouncement over me and help me to realize all these work I've been doing, oh, it was not in vain. Now, I know that. I know that because the Bible teaches that. But I want to tell you, I still look forward to the time when I'm going to hear those words. And so should you. So my point here again, ladies and gentlemen, in our housekeeping, we need to make sure we stay abreast. You know, one thing I didn't mention in Luke 21, verse 36 is, trouble is because so much trouble is going to come upon the world that we need to pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape it. So that should have mentioned that on the prophecy. That's Luke 21, verse 36. Pray the Lord of, you know, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things. So I am saying to you, there are certain categories. I categorize them so as to make it easier in our study. But these are just some of the things. They're not a complete list. They're some of the things that we and I, you and I, ought to be focused on. We ought to make sure we are staying abreast prophetically, stay up to date prophetically. We need to make sure we position ourselves so we can help assist others and also progress economically. In addition, You need to know what is happening in the word so you can give words of encouragement to others about what is actually taking place right now. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. And in your personal walk, you need to make sure you're what? Spotless. Yes, perfection is the goal. And so you want to make sure that you're living a life that is beyond repute. You want to make sure you're living right. And finally, you want to take up the responsibility that Jesus had thrown it out, says, go. Well, he's talking to you. Yes, you. The very person listening to me right now. He's talking to you. So you want to make sure then you're doing your part. No, you can't do everything. Don't get the wrong idea now. You can't solve everybody's problem. But you can be a blessing to someone. Look to see who God has called, assigned you to. To be a blessing to them, and get ready and make sure you're doing your part. So this is all I wanted to share with you today as we go ahead and focus on housekeeping. So I want to just thank you for being such a good student or listening and, you know, uninterrupted really. And so, you know, study these things, examine yourself, and apply yourself. Thank you so much. See you in the next lesson.